allows us to see good days. And so we're very thankful for this Lord's Day. I want to encourage all of us to be here on next Lord's Day. Next Lord's Day will be our family and friends day. And we are inviting Brother Truett Adair, Brother Adair from Sunset School of Preaching, will be here to be our guest speaker as we officially launch into our third quarter, the hands and the feet of Christ, dealing with fruit bearing and purpose. We also want to encourage you to pray and look forward to our gospel campaign. Our gospel campaign begins on the first Sunday in August. We are inviting Brother George Williams from the Eastside Church of Christ in Austin, Texas, to be our guest evangelist this year. And if you know Brother Williams, we have invited one who is very capable and one who I know will do an excellent job in presenting the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see the advertisement on the building. You will have access to invitations. We want you to begin to invite your friends, also to pray for our meeting. And I know that God is going to be richly blessed by our efforts, and his kingdom is certainly going to prosper. We want to take this opportunity to thank all of you who are here who are guests today. And I see friends all the way from Lubbock, and it's good to have them here with us today. And if any others here are visitors, please know that you are our honored guests. I want to call your attention to Ephesians chapter 1, and I want to read in your hearing verses 22 and 23. And he, speaking of God, put all things under his feet, speaking of Christ, gave him, Christ, to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. I want to speak to you from the subject, carrying out the purpose of the church. Carrying out the purpose of the church. There is a definite purpose and a definite place for the church today in times like these. It is our responsibility as a church to carry out God's plan and God's purpose for which he brought this great body into existence. I believe today, if we can clearly define what that position is and that purpose is, if understood or when understood, we will find and we will all acknowledge that we are a blessed people and we are a privileged people. When you think in terms of our context, Paul is writing to the Ephesians, helping them to understand their great wealth in Christ Jesus. And understanding that the church in which they are members of, and all of us are members of, we are a people who should recognize the uniqueness of it. When you consider this prayer, beginning at verse number 15 and concluding at verse number 23, I want you to see that the church has a purpose for which you and I must truly be involved in. Notice he says in verse number 22, put all things under his feet, gave him to be head over all things. But this is to the church. And in verse 23, he says, the church, which is his body. Not only is it his body, but the Bible said is the fullness of him. Not only is the church the fullness of him, but it is through the church that he filleth all in all. If you want to follow me, I will be sharing with you the body. That will be our first point. Secondly, the fullness of him. Point number two. Point number three, how that he filleth all in all through this great body, the church. When you think in terms of him saying, which is his body, immediately I know it's not mine. And I know it's not yours. It is his body. The idea of body is the picture of the human body. Christ wants us to see our relationship to him as the head is in relationship to the human body. The human body is one. The head cannot exist without the body, and the body cannot exist without the head. I pray we never see a body without a head, and a head without a body. When you consider the unity of the human body, this is the first time that Paul emphasizes the idea of headship and the human body. Considering other passages of Scripture, in Ephesians 5 and beginning at verse number 30, notice what he says further in this epistle. For we are members of, here it is, his body, of his flesh and of his bones. In this context, he is speaking of the relationship between the husband and the wife. He goes all the way back to the beginning. And what he does is he shows us that as Adam was put to sleep, and from Adam was taken from his flesh and his bones, part of him to make the woman his wife. You must see that this same idea of unity exists between Christ and the church. Though he speaks in verse number 30 of the husband and the wife relationship, yet even the human body comes into play because of how man and woman came together or were brought together from one body. When you consider the idea of the body of Christ, I go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 27, where the Bible says, now ye are the body of Christ, and we are members in particular. When you identify the church and the place and the position of the church, he is asking us to see it as you see the human body. And that is Christ as his head and we as his body. One complete body. Now, when you think in terms of fullness of him, you have to understand that fullness comes from a word which means totality. The body is the totality of Christ. Now, I know that that's really hard for us to comprehend, but this is what the Bible teaches, that the body of Christ is the fullness of Christ. So the idea is that you have to see the body completing Christ. The body being the total of Christ Jesus. The other example of this is found in Colossians 2 and verse number 9, where Paul in this epistle is trying to help us to understand the relationship of Christ and the Godhead. Notice he uses this same word, fullness. He says, "For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily," which simply is the same thing, is that Christ is the completeness of the Godhead. Christ is the total of the Godhead bodily. If you are seeking to try to somehow de-emphasize or minimize Christ, you cannot minimize him based on Colossians 2:9 and see him as being subject or subjugated to the Godhead. He is the Godhead. He is God. You cannot see him as one of the angels. He is God in the flesh. That's why the Bible says in Colossians 1:19, "For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell." So the position of Christ as it relates to the Godhead is that he is the total of the Godhead. He is the fullness of the Godhead. He is the completion of the Godhead. You cannot have the God of this universe without having Jesus Christ, the man who is in bodily form, which helps me to understand how the church is the fullness of Christ. You cannot have the Christ who is the Savior without having the totality of Christ, which is the church of Christ. Now, there are those who want to put more emphasis on Christ and less emphasis on the church. But I'm here to tell you that you cannot view Christ without viewing Christ through his body, the church. The church of Christ is the body of Christ. Now, you and I are living in a world where the body of Christ is viewed from the spiritual realm or from the realm of religion as being a denominated body. But the Bible does not teach us that the church is denominated or that the church is a plurality of different religious bodies. There is only one body, and that one body is his body, and that his body is the body of Christ, which is one. And it is a unity. It is a organism that you and I must see as it relates to our position, and we are the fullness of him. Now, you may not like the church. You may not like the way things go on in the church, but I'm telling you, that is the only way that you and I can ever be accepted in the sight of God, and that is if you and I are part of this wonderful body, the church. That's why Jesus would say in Matthew 16 and verse number 18, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." That's why in Acts chapter 20 and verse number 28, he says to those elders at Ephesus, "Take heed unto yourself and over all the flock which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which is the church of the living God." And so what you have to see, that the church which he purchased with his own blood, Jesus Christ purchased this church. It's his. The church is the body of Christ, and the church is that called out institution that you and I are members of. When you think in terms of the idea of the fullness of him, there are other examples that help us to understand the fullness of Christ. When you think in terms of Christ as a bridegroom, The bridegroom is incomplete without the bride. You can't have a bridegroom without a bride. So when the bride is present, or when the bride is consummated with the bridegroom, that's where fullness and completeness has taken place. Another example is where Jesus uses in John 15, verses 1. He says, I am the vine, and my Father is the husbandman. And then he goes on to say in verse number 5, I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. So he illustrates the idea that a vine has to have branches. The completion of the vine is the branches. The completion of the bridegroom is the bride. And then another way to look at it is the shepherd and the sheep. A shepherd cannot be a shepherd without sheep. The sheep is what completes the shepherd. So when you think in terms of the church of Christ, the church of Christ is the body of Christ. It is that which completes Christ. It is the fullness of Jesus Christ. Now, the last point is that filleth all in all. The church completes all for Christ. Now, I didn't say it completes Christ. I said the church completes all for Christ. Now, that's a difference. The church completes him, but the church also completes all for Christ. He is the head of all things. He is the one who is over all things to the church, which is his body. Are you with me? The fullness of him, but watch this, that filleth all in all. So the filleth all in all is that he must be able to use the church in order to complete all and all in the world. I see the church as an instrument of Christ through which the fullness of Christ fills all in all. Everything that the world wants from Christ, he does it through his body, the church. He does not do it independently of his church. The church must be the instrument by which the Lord carries out all of his functions in the world today. So if you ask what is the position of the church, it is the body of Christ. It is the fullness of Christ. It is the instrument of Christ by which Christ fulfills everything in this world. When you think in terms of Christ working through the world and he's involved in human history, it's about God dispensing his eternal plan to the world. He is working and fitting everything into its proper place, but he does it through the church of our Lord. Now, when you think in terms of the church being the instrument of Christ, that's why you and I must understand that the head dreams dreams. The head plans plans, but though it may be in your mind, it takes your body to what? To fulfill them. So it is with Christ. He is the one who has the plan. He is the one who has the mind for the church. He is the one who has the program for the church. But he needs his hands and he needs feet. He needs a body in order to carry out his mission here upon this earth. While he was on this earth, he had his own body. And he moved from place to place with his body. He used his hands to heal the sick. He used his own hands to be able to take away fever. He used his own hands to be able to cleanse the lepers. He used his own mouth to speak the word of God. He used his own feet to walk from one place to the other place. But when he took his flight and went back to heaven, he established another body by which he would speak. Another body by which he would have his hands and his feet to carry out his will. And that is through the church of our Lord. Well, Brother Gibbs, can you help me? I believe I can. I want you to look with me at Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and where? In Samaria, and in the what? The uttermost part of the earth. God wants his disciples. He wants his church to go into all of the world and be witnesses unto me. Tell them about me. I want you to go all through Jerusalem, all through Judea, all through Samaria, and to the utmost part of the earth. Why? You are my body. That's the only way I'm going to get to Jerusalem. That's the only way I'm going to get to Judea. I can't get to Samaria unless I got a body that'll take me to all of those places, to the utmost part of the earth. Well, ladies and gentlemen, let me be a little more specific. When you think in terms of the church, I want you to put on the screen 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse number 5, and I want you to see the Thessalonian church, how this church serves as the body of Christ. Notice he says, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake." Don't move. He said, I want you to understand that the gospel came unto you not only in word, but in power and in the Holy Ghost, in much assurance, in much assurance. In other words, you did not receive something that you doubted. You received it with much assurance, and you understood our purpose for being among you, not for our sake, but for your sake. Now watch verse number 6. He says, and ye became, when you talk about the church, followers of us and of the Lord. The apostle Paul recognized that he was a follower of Christ. If you want to know what is the church, it's a follower of Christ. It is a follower of Christ. Followers of Christ. Not followers of government. Not followers of these social activities and social activists that are moving throughout our world today. We are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. Don't move. Having received the word of God in much affliction. I know that when the gospel came to Thessalonica and you received the word of God and you had it with much assurance, I also know that you had to receive it in the midst of much affliction, but you received it with the joy of the Holy Ghost. Verse number 7. Watch him now. So that ye were examples to all that believe in Macedonia. What is the church? The church is the followers of Christ. What is the church? The church is the examples of Jesus Christ. Among whom? Among all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. Don't move. We are examples of the God that we serve. We are followers of the God that we serve. Where? In all of Garland, in all of Mesquite, in all of Texas, everywhere. Why? Because we are the body of Christ. We are the examples of Christ. We are the followers of Christ. Verse number 8. Watch this now. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not speak anything. Watch this now. Sounded out the word of the Lord. That word sounded out carries the idea of an alarm. Have you ever been in the midst of a tornado warning? And how that sound goes out, that alarm goes out? That's the idea of the gospel being sounded out from the Thessalonica. The people in Thessalonica, they were people who made a lot of noise about the gospel of Jesus Christ. It sounded out the word of the Lord everywhere. Everywhere they went, that's what they were about.
So, what is the church? The church responsibility is to be followers of Christ. The church has a responsibility to be examples of Christ. Number 8, verse 8 says, and from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith to God would have spread abroad. We're going to have to be people who are spreading abroad the word of God. That's because we are the body of Christ. We are members of the church of Christ. Now, watch this, so that we need not speak anything of you. If it sounded out, number one, it's conspicuous. We cannot be a people who are silent and have silent alarms. No, you're going to have to be a person who is very conspicuous about who you are and about where we are and whose we are. Don't be ashamed of the body of Christ. Don't be ashamed to be the Lord Jesus Christ's possession. Sound it out and be conspicuous about it. Let the folk in your neighborhood know I'm a child of God. Let the folk on your job know that I'm a child of God. That's the only way that Jesus Christ will be able to be spread throughout the world, is that if every one of us see ourselves as participants in the body of Christ, followers of Christ, examples of Christ, and sounding out the word of the Lord in every place. Watch this now. Watch verse number 9. Well, for they themselves show unto us. Well, go and get another passage of scripture for me. Go and get for me. Go and get for me. 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5. And I want verse number 18. And I'm almost through. I'm almost through. Amen, amen. I know I'm almost through. But anyway, I said it 3 times. Now watch this. And all things, watch this. All things of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us. What is the church all about? Hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. The ministry of reconciliation. Watch this now. The ministry of reconciliation means to make friends again, to have fellowship once again. You cannot say, well, I just want to forgive. You have to also be one who reconciles. That is, that you want to bring back the fellowship of you and the individual. God, watch this now. God hath reconciled us to himself. We were enemies of God, sinners separated from God. But what did God do? He reconciled us. He forgave us. What did he do? He made it possible for us to be friends again. And he also provided a fellowship for us to have fellowship with him. That's the church of Jesus Christ. And watch this. And have given to us the ministry of reconciliation. I want the church to be involved in making friends. And I want them to be involved in forgiving. I want them to be involved in bringing about a fellowship that once did not exist. That's our ministry as a church. We are to be followers of Christ. We are to be examples of Christ. We are to sound out the word of the Lord, but we are to be involved in bringing about sinners, bringing them back into fellowship, into relationship with Jesus Christ and with God Almighty. Watch verse number 19. The Bible says, to wit, that God was in Christ. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. So if God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing trespasses against them, he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. So as he worked through Christ, he must now work through the body of Christ. Doing what? Reconciling the word. We have the word of reconciliation. Now watch this now. Watch the Bible. Read on. What else does it say? Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. We are ambassadors for Christ. That's what I like. Ambassador. This is where I'm going to end. We are ambassadors of Christ. If you know anything about an ambassador is one who has been officially sent to another country, and he is the highest ranking official in that country. He represents his country. He does not become a citizen of that country. He is still a citizen of the United States, but he is in another country representing the United States. He is the highest official in that country representing the United States of America. He doesn't have citizenship over there. His citizenship is still in America, but he is an ambassador. He's an ambassador for peace between the two countries. He is there in order to carry out official business for the United States of America. That's because he is an ambassador. When you go to the embassy in another country, that embassy doesn't have just the flag of another country, but it has the United States flag flying over it. Anybody in that country that wants to identify with the United States of America, they know they can't just go anywhere and identify with America. They have to go to the embassy. Why must they go to the embassy? Because the embassy is where the ambassador is, and the ambassador is the official. He is the official person by which the country carries out business in that particular country. We are the ambassadors of Christ. Our citizenship is not in this world. Our citizenship is from heaven. And since we are from heaven, we are representing God. We are representing Christ. We are representing the Holy Spirit. And anybody who wants to do business with God, Christ, the Holy Spirit, they have to come to the Lord's embassy. Somebody ought to ask me, what is the Lord's embassy? The Lord's embassy is the church of Christ. If you want Christ, you got to come to the church. You want to be saved, you got to come to the church. If you want to go to heaven, you got to come to the church. Amen, walls. Amen, lights. Yes, sir. Amen. Yeah, that was all I had. Amen. Well, the church of Christ needs ambassadors. It needs instruments. It needs us all. And I pray that wherever you are, that you will recognize your position and your place. We're going to have to make a difference in the world. And our difference is for Christ. It's not about ourselves. This is not a social club. This is really about us serving as followers of Christ, examples of Christ, us being, ladies and gentlemen, those who also sound out the word of God, and those of us who are in the business of the ministry of reconciliation. And we are his ambassadors, and I pray that all of us will honor what God has asked us to do. Now, we're living in challenging times, but I'm telling you, if your church doesn't be the church and stop trying to emulate the world and trying to be like the world, then Christ will never receive the glory. And you go on your job, knowing that you are an ambassador. When you live in your neighborhood, I am an ambassador, which means that you can't do what everybody else does. You can't advertise and do things that you know will be a reflection upon Christ and his purpose and his plan. For we are the body of Christ. When I think about it, here's what I really believe and I really think is the uniqueness of the body of Christ. And that is that he needs us all. Some of us feel as though, well, that job is for ministers, elders, and deacons, and those special agents that work in the church. But that's not the way God planned it. He wants every one of us to recognize how unique we are, and how important it is for all of us to recognize that we are ambassadors. So when you go out and you're standing in line and you know that the person ahead of you broke in front of you, and you know that that person had no business doing that, I beg you, don't let yourself come out. Recognize that I am an ambassador. You are a peacemaker. You are in the reconciling business. And so what you tell that person, you say, listen, because I'm a Christian, I'm going to let you go ahead and break in front of me. But you did break in front of me. You do know that. But I'm not mad. I want you to go ahead and do that. And by the way, I'm a member of the Greenville Avenue Church of Christ. I'd like for you to come and visit us at the Greenville Avenue Church of Christ.
Now, what you just did was you let them know that they broke in line. Number two, what you did was you let them know that I ain't going to act no fool because you did that. And then number three, you also took that opportunity to what? To reconcile and to make what? Friends and to bring them what? Back into fellowship with God, because I'm an ambassador. So when you know that, don't cut up and show out with folk and act ugly. I'm the body of Christ. Am I right about it? Oh, I'm trying to tell you. Now, that's just one example. I can give you 20, but I just gave you that one. Now, here's the point that I'm making. In my possession, I have, and I'm talking about instruments. All of us need to see ourselves as an instrument. I have a toolkit. Am I looking all right? All right. Brother Bell, in that toolkit, I have several tools. I don't want a toolkit where I only have a screwdriver. I don't want a toolkit where all I have is a hammer. See, in that toolkit, I have a hammer, I have a screwdriver, I got some pliers, I got a file, I got a whole lot of different things. And it just depends on what I'm doing as to which tool I'm going to use. And the more tools I have, the more what? Opportunity I have to what? To fix things. Now, here's what God wants. Brother Bell, he wants all of us to understand that I don't care how you see yourself, you are very valuable. I had a lawnmower. Now, I'm going to show you something. And that lawnmower had an arm from the wheel back to the cutting chassis, all right? And a little pin that holds that arm to the cutting chassis came out. That little pin wasn't as long as my finger. It looked something like it was just a little larger than a bobby pin. But that little pin is what went through that and held that thing. And you know what? When that thing broke, I didn't say, oh, that's a little bit of piece of something. And I don't, you know, I went to Home Depot, and I found me another pin, and I put it in that lawnmower, and then I, boom, started that lawnmower up. And, man, I could cut all day long with that one little pin. Now, hear what I'm trying to tell you. Don't you ever think that you're not important, because God needs us all to hold this church together. And you're an instrument. You're an instrument. I don't care. I don't care how people might want to, you know, frame it. You are an instrument that God can use. And I pray that you do that. You've heard the word this morning. Believe it with all of your heart. Repent of your sin. Confess Christ to be the Son of God. Oh, go down in the watery grave of baptism, which is Father, Mr. Sam. When you come up, you'll be in Christ. You'll be that church. You'll be that body of Christ. You'll be that instrument that Christ can use. Will you do that? Will you come? Come right now while together we stand and sing. Will you come?
What can wash away my sin?
Nothing but the blood of
Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Well, singing, oh, precious is